We pray. Heavenly Father, on this cold and dark December, as we move through these dark days, cheer our hearts with the light of your gospel. Be with us, dear Lord, in these end times, that our eyes may look heavenward, that our hearts may be reassured of your divine grace and will for our lives, and may our souls be strengthened knowing that heaven is our home, and soon we will see you in all your glory. To you be our thanks and praise now and forevermore. Amen. Christmas often brings a visit from Jimmy Stewart. As the snow falls and the cocoa warms, millions of families snuggle down with the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Last year, we were bustling around shopping and wrapping and running to parties, and our lives might have seemed like, ooh, it's a wonderful life. This year, maybe not so much, not so wonderful. In the movie, George Bailey sacrifices his life at the building and loan just so that more people could have a home and the good life. A financial crisis hits and threatens to destroy him. He wanted to die. But God showed George just what impact he had on so many people's lives. He realized, in spite of his troubles, he had a wonderful life because he had family and friends that he loved, and they loved him in return. It is a blessing to love and be loved. But is that all it takes to create a wonderful life? Or is that just in the movies? Have you been kind and loving enough to make 2020 a wonderful year? I'm afraid if we look to ourselves, our lives are not going to be wonderful. But Isaiah the prophet says, it's a wonderful life in Christ. The Jewish priests and Levites went out to ask John the Baptist, who are you and by what authority do you preach these things? John answered them in the words of the prophet Isaiah. I am the voice calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. But then John pointed their attention to someone other than himself. He said, among you stands one you do not know. Wow. Who could John be talking about? John didn't leave them hanging in suspense very long. He raised his arm, pointed his finger for all the world to see this one whom God has sent into the world. Isaiah recorded exactly why Jesus came into this world. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God sent his anointed one to come, but not to come into a world of wonderful people, to come into a world of the walking dead. Jesus comes to us who in our bodies and hearts and souls are bankrupt, broken, captive prisoners in the darkness, and grieving mourners sitting in the ashes of despair. Those are who he comes for. We meet a sobbing woman as she is making her way out to the cemetery. She is not burying her husband. This is her second trip to the cemetery outside the city of Nain. She is burying her only son. She is hysterical. She's alone, with no husband nor a son to support her. In Jesus' days, the women had few ways of supporting themselves. She would have to beg on the streets of Nain. Not a wonderful life. Have we ever felt so completely broken, shattered like her? As we meet her on the road, what comfort can we give this grieving widow, this grieving mother? Well, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. Work hard, and you can make your life wonderful again. What comfort is that? There, in the distance, are 10 men huddled in a group. They have a contagious skin disease known as leprosy. They are permanently quarantined. Slowly their skin will peel away, their fingers and toes will fall off, and then finally the disease will eat away at their inner organs. Have we ever sat in the ashes of despair like them, waiting for death to come? Have we ever felt like we have no future? We're just going through the motions, shunned by everyone around us. Stay away, stay away. What do you say to those who have physical or mental afflictions, extreme poverty, or are outcasts, shunned? Well, at least you have each other. Keep loving each other, and you too will be able to take your lemons and make some lemonade out of them. You too can make life wonderful. Really? What sad, pathetic words. If we met Judas with a rope around his neck, in the last moments of his life, what would we say? He feels there is no forgiveness for what he has done. Let Jesus into your heart. Have we ever felt so wicked that we were sure God was going to strike us down in all of his holy wrath? Have we ever wished we had never been born? The question is, what would Jesus have us say to Judas, to the lepers, to the woman, the widow, and all those who are suffering and dying and broken and imprisoned? Let Jesus into your heart. Jesus says, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." For these poor and pitiful souls, their lives can only be wonderful in Christ. For our poor and pitiful souls that are tormented by the effects of sin on every side and so guilt-ridden by the things we ourselves have done, there is only one wonderful life, and it is found in Jesus, in his forgiveness, in his ability to restore us to the joy and peace that was in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. Make straight the way for the Lord. Let go of all the bitter pain and anguish, and let our hearts be filled with the love of the Lord. What would the widow of Nain tell us today? Oh, Jesus not only brought my son back from life, but he gave us everlasting life with his words. Only the Messiah, the anointed of God, could raise the dead. And then what does he do? He goes and dies. Dies for us. We not only rejoice that we could go back home and grow some vegetables, we rejoice that the Messiah has prepared a home for us in heaven. Just as Isaiah the prophet said, the Messiah has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. So Jesus took his robe of salvation and wrapped us up in it. We now have not only have more days here on earth, we have new life, eternal life, a wonderful life in Christ. We have seen the Savior. Don't stay stuck in your pain, because God's face shines upon you. Those who do not believe in Jesus, they are on one lifelong funeral procession to the eternal grave of the dead. What would the 10 lepers tell us today? Oh, we heard that Jesus did miracles. We were wondering if he was the Messiah. He walked by. We called out. He healed us with a word. But he did much more than just make our bodies healthy and strong. In bowing before him and looking into his eyes, I realized that I was looking into the eyes of the Lord God Almighty. He has come in this sin-infected world to heal our hearts and souls with his salvation. He did not abandon us as outcast sinners. He wrapped us in the robe of his forgiveness. He purchased this robe by being abandoned himself. He was abandoned not only by the people of this world, but abandoned, punished as being unclean by his heavenly Father. His sacrifice makes us wholly clean. Make straight the way for the Lord. Do not let this world eat away at you, but rather be healthy and unaffected by this world's attacks. All those who do not know Jesus are doomed to rot in their sins all the days of their lives and then burn forever in hell. Just as the widow and the leper, we too have crossed the Messiah's path. He has stopped to speak with us, and he has changed our lives for all eternity. We join in the voice of the believers throughout the world in Isaiah's song of praise. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. It is a wonderful life in Christ. Whether we are as rich as Solomon or are being thrown to the lions in the Roman Colosseum, there are bitterly sad days in this world. What else would we expect from a world that is spoiled by evil? Nothing makes us sadder than when we become Judases, betraying our Savior. But Jesus has saved us. We are his. Soon we will see him face to face in all of his glory. What a day that will be. This year in America has not been wonderful, but in Christ, our entire lives are described as the year of the Lord's favor. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rejoice, the Lord's favor rests on us. It is a wonderful life in Christ. Amen. We pray, Heavenly Father, you come and ransom us and rescue us. You bring us from the lowest depths to the highest heights, that we should be called the children of God, that we can have peace and safety in your love, in your grace and power. Guide us ever onward, and may the light of your word ever shine brilliantly in our hearts and lives. To you be our thanks and praise. In Christ our Savior. Amen.